Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I'm excited to be joined again by the godfather of the air raid offense, Hal Mumme. Coach, great to have you here on the podcast again.
Oh, Keith, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Coach, this is a great time to have you back on, too. Had something popped up on my LinkedIn that it was the anniversary of this podcast, three-year anniversary. And when I first launched it, I launched it with six episodes that I recorded. And you were one of those first episodes at the launch. And I could tell you, I remember having that talk with you, and I hadn't done a lot of these before. Like I said, you were one of the first six. So I was really nervous, didn't know exactly how the conversation was going to go. And I remember you were leaving the building and you got kind of caught in the wind. So there was all this wind in the background too. And, you know, I can say, Coach, I've become better since then. So I appreciate you coming back on here and talking ball with us again.
No problem, Keith. You always make it easy. I appreciate it.
Well, Coach, before we get into some of the things that you're currently doing, I could say, you know, we do a podcast every Wednesday. We call it Trends Day, and we've just been watching trends around football from high school all the way through to the pros. And I could tell you, at every single level, the one thing we started tracking on early in the season in 2019, and we've seen week in and week out, high school, college, and the NFL, is everybody has the mesh play in their playbook this year. It seems like everybody has gone to that. You know, we kind of came to the conclusion that, you know, everybody's been looking at how do you stop the RPO, and they're going to a lot of man and match answers. And you know, I know it's a great all-purpose play from having used it before, but certainly it's really good against man. And so we've been seeing a lot of the mesh used this year.
Oh, yeah, I've been watching it, and there's some creative stuff going on. I still think a lot of guys don't really have the general principles of it down. Even some of the NFL guys I watch, they're kind of guessing at it. So, you know, but it's an effective play if you know how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's exactly like what you said. They're doing it for a purpose, and so it is not necessarily the full progression of the play as it's taught with all the variations. But, you know, you do see it week in and week out. And, you know, we'll get into a little bit of you know, talking about details of offense. Before we go there, though, I wanted to talk to you about bringing the air raid to professional football. We know, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's done that with a version of it at Arizona, but you're bringing it to the XFL and the Dallas Renegades, and I'm sure you're excited about this opportunity.
Well, I am, because I get to work for a guy who's our first true believer in Bob Stoops. And when you look back at the late 90s, we've been doing it for about 7 or 8 years at Iowa Wesleyan and Valdosta State, and we went to the University of Kentucky, and Bob was the DC at Florida for Steve Spurrier. And we started having these great games with him compared to what they'd been doing. And so when Bob got the job at Oklahoma, he called and wanted to hire Mike Leach to be his OC. And so I told Mike, you know, you're trying to get a head job, and you probably should do that, because they'll stop asking you who calls the plays, me or you. So he did, and it worked out. And a year later, he was at Texas Tech. And then the next year, when he left, Bob wanted to keep doing it, so he sent Mangino. I'm sorry, his name escaped me for a second. Sent Mangino over to Kentucky to study, and we helped him with the play calling. So, you know, it's just Bob was one of the first guy that wasn't on my staff to really believe in what we were doing.
Coach, you know, you bring up he came out to you to learn the game, and you know, I think the way people learn this game has definitely evolved. Before we got going and hit the record button here, you were just talking about, you know, how you learned the game and how you were going out to BYU. And, you know, I did a survey of coaches the other day. I had about 700 respond. And, you know, a large portion of those guys, you know, clicked the option that was online learning. And there's a ton of resources out there. There's some really good things. But, you know, I think the one thing that you have done with your system throughout the years is given the answers, right? So I could go out on a Friday night and watch two football teams, watch two high school teams run almost the exact same type of offense. But you see on one side, like you could see they have all the answers, that they went somewhere and got really deep on their learning. And then the other side is just at that surface level. And it's just like you mentioned before, you know, seeing this, the mesh play in the NFL, that, you know, everybody doesn't get it right just because you learned it online, that there's certainly a lot more to studying this game than hopping on YouTube and watching a few videos.
Yeah, I think, you know, myself, I spent, I probably made 15 or 16 trips to BYU in the 80s and 90s, late 80s and early 90s, you know, two trips a year, watch spring practice, go back in the summer, take my son to their summer camp, spend a week watching in the film room there. I got so familiar. I was one of the few guys they let do that, and I really owe a debt of gratitude to Coach Edwards and his staff, because they did open up and give me a lot of knowledge that I wouldn't have got otherwise. I got so familiar at that place that Cheryl, Coach Edwards' secretary, when I'd leave at night, she'd just hand me the keys and ask me to lock up. Because I was going to sit in that film room until probably 10:30 or 11 at night watching everything. So what I'm getting at is this whole Air Raid Certified deal we got going is in response to what you're saying about the internet. And, you know, people can't just learn stuff in going to a clinic or going to watch. I couldn't learn it going to BYU once. I had to go like 15 or 16 times, you know. And that's hard to do. I mean, it's hard to do anywhere. You just, like you were saying, you have logistical costs and stuff like that that coaches can't do. So it becomes very easy for them to go to the internet, look up a play, and then go out and try and run it instead of really learning the nuts and bolts of it, which is, that's what we're trying to do with this certified deal. The other thing that started happening was I'm getting older in this business, and the guys that I can recommend for jobs now don't have necessarily worked for me, because most of those guys have already moved up to head coaching positions or coordinator positions, stuff like that, at a pretty high level. And so these younger guys come along, I can't necessarily employ all of them to teach them. And then they come here one or two times, and then they want me to recommend them for a job. So I wanted to have a way that I could gauge their knowledge of the offense before I recommended them.
And I think that's a really important feature of what you've done here with your system. And, you know, you definitely shared why you created it for those coaches listening out there, since you did mention it. What is the Air Raid certification?
It costs $499, which is about the cost of an Xbox. So if you want to give up, if you're a young guy and you give up Xbox for a year, you can do it. It's a series of 17 videos and then 17 tests. So you watch a video, take a test, watch another video, take another test. You got to go all the way through it and pass the test. You have to score 93% overall to pass. And then at the end, you get 14 hours of vaulted film that's never been seen before, that I've never released before. And you also get a video on how to get a job, how to interview for jobs. And then you're allowed to call me or email me for questions, and I'll allow you to be on. You can put me on your resume. So it's good for younger guys. It's also good for older guys who just want to change their style, or maybe they're a head coach at a high school and they want to be able to get that higher job, you know, or get into college. So it's good for anybody who wants to be involved in Air Raid.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, Coach. And I think the certification part, to me, that's a very interesting thing. And, you know, I think our game is just in general moving in that direction. I think it's going to be necessary just, you know, for a standard of care, right, that coaches know how to do things like teach blocking and tackling in a way that you're understanding the contact. But certainly there's a level of expertise that goes along with it. And this is nothing new. I mean, they're doing this in other sports. They're doing this around the world. We just haven't done it here in football. But, you know, whether it's that young coach or the older coach here who is looking at a certification, how do you feel something like this really starts to set them apart in, you know, a job market that any time now a job opens really at any level? I mean, so many people do want to coach football, but, you know, I talk to coaches all the time, right? Building a staff or finding the right guys is very difficult. So how does this help that process?
Well, I get a ton of calls. Probably at least two or three a month of guys saying, all right, we want to start running the air raid. Who you have? You know, who should I hire? And the last couple of weeks, I've been, you know, starting to be head coaching season in colleges and high schools, and I've had some calls from ADs and search firms and people like that. They want to know, you know, we'd like to do an offense like you run, and who should we get, you know? So I wanted to have a way so when I recommend people, I could say, look, this guy's done our certification, and he's at level 7, which we've got some criteria. Once you pass the thing, you're at level 1 if you're an entry-level coach. But we'll take into account experience, you know, like if you won a state championship doing something similar to the air raid, and now you pass our certification, now we know you know all of our stuff, and so you can mix and match it, your offense any way you want to, but we'll recommend you. So that's I wanted to have a kind of a database, and we're at 150 today that we have signed up so far. And so that'll be 150 guys. If they all pass the test, it'll be 150 guys I can recommend.
But you mentioned the different levels, and I know like this primarily is a level 1, and you're going to take into account the other things like experience. But as you look towards building this out in the future, what starts to delineate the different levels that a coach might be certified in?
Well, I think the number one thing is ongoing professional training, like attend clinics, attend practices, things like that. It can also just be something as simple. Like I said, once they pass and get the certification, then they can call me up and we can talk on the phone. I love talking ball. I'll do it with anybody. I just want to get away. So I'm doing it with the right people, not just people that are randomly calling me, you know? So there's on field performance is important too. You know, like we elevated a guy the other day and won the state championship and threw for 593 yards in the championship game to win the first state championship for his school. So he had come on board, and we were going to make him like a 6, and I think we ended up making him an 8 because of that. So performance plays into it as well.
Yeah, in looking at the performance, as a coach, I could go out there and learn the ins and outs of, you know, every single play. But then there's that aspect of being a play caller, being a coordinator, being the guy who could put this all together for in a practice plan and prepare the right way so that you have success, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, wherever it might be. But how does your system prepare a coach for that aspect of it?
Well, one of the, you know, some of the big tests on there are all about practicing, game planning, calling the game. Those are 3 of the big tests. And so I give away, you know, all the secrets we had through the years of that. But they have to pay attention to the video, and they got to pass the test. But if they'll do it, it'll help their program. And then, like I said, some of it's just about performance. So if an AD at a big high school or a college calls me up and says, can this guy do it? And he's not somebody who has directly served under me on a staff someplace, then I'd like to have a way to know that he can do it. So not only has he got the base of knowledge of the offense, but he's also performed well on the field as maybe a coordinator or a, you know, a lower level head coach, something like that. And so this gives me a way to quantify all that.
And coach, I know they basically unlock a vault, right, as they pass this and have all kinds of additional stuff. That's something you plan to continue to add to the vault portion of this?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll certainly update that all the time. The other thing that they can take part in after they get certified is the we're going to periodically, and I've done the first one already, we have a coach's Q&A over some of their game film. And so we just did Pat Taylor from North Surrey High School in North Carolina. He sent us 10 clips of White Cross. And so Pat and I got on there, and we just had a conversation about what was happening on each play. If he was doing something wrong, I'd point it out to him. If he was doing some great stuff, I pointed that out to him. We're going to do another one with Coach Hubert Davis at MRA in Jackson, Mississippi. He's the one I just mentioned that threw for 593 in the state championship game and beat one of the perennial powers in that state for the state championship. And so we're going to do one with him here, I think, in January. So every couple of months we'll do something like that, but that goes in the vault too. And so when people click on, they can go to that, and they can see these conversations with these guys. If you're a high school coach, you can watch conversations with high school coaches doing something similar to you with similar types of talent and similar types of problems. And we're going to try to move it around to different levels. We'll probably even do one for the XFL with myself and AJ Smith, my partner, who's coaching the Houston Renegades. I mean, the Houston Roughnecks, sorry. We're the Renegades.
Coach, in looking at this, so, you know, again, I want to give a good understanding of this to our listeners. I mentioned the mesh play, right? And that a lot of people have adopted that really for a certain purpose. You could see they're just kind of scheming up a little bit because they know they're going to see man. But when you look at and, you know, thinking about any kind of play, but we'll focus on mesh as an example, you know, taking that play and, you know, okay, I know this is going to beat man because I got shallow crossers running away from the coverage, etc. How important for any offensive coordinator is it really to be able to maximize the plays they're going to run? Because I've done it before. I made this mistake young as a coach. I mean, I ended up with a collection of plays, and I didn't have a system. You have a system. So if I am, as an example, running mesh, not only do I start to understand all the variations, but then I start to see what else fits with this. When they do this, what's the answer? And could you talk just a little bit about how your system sets up a coach for success in that way?
Yeah, it's a system where I've tried to – we don't have a lot of plays, but we have a lot of reps in these plays, and therefore we can have a lot of different looks for the same play. And then you got to have plays that are companion plays to each other. Mike Leach and I used to say all the time back in the old days at Valdosta, we could run mesh, shallows, and the draw. And the defense can't stop all three. All we had to do is figure out which one they weren't taking away. And so you got it. The more plays you can have, and it doesn't matter what the defense is doing, the better. I think when you watch a lot of particularly the NFL games, you know, they got those big charts they're covering their faces with. It looks like the menu at Waffle House. And I have the same problem when I go to Waffle House. I can't decide which one to call, you know? So if you can have fewer plays that you can do out of multiple looks, I think you see a lot more success and a lot easier call in the game. But that requires you to have plays that will adjust themselves to a zone defense or a man defense.
It's funny that you bring that up. I heard you know, from listening to Mike Leach interviews, I mean, he'll just go with anything. And he's talking about, you know, guys covering their mouth up with those things. And he came up with his idea of having a veil over the face. But what I've noticed, though, is you look at, you know, whether it's Mike Leach or, you know, watching the game, Lincoln Riley the other day. I mean, they are out there with, you know, something that is like a quarter of a page. And they're calling their plays off of that. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that simple wins, right? And it's simple, but you really learn the execution that goes along with it. That the answers don't have to be plentiful. It's not about quantity of the answers. It's about the quality.
Exactly. And it's simple is not exactly simple. You have to learn how to practice these things. You have to do the right drills for each one. You have to have the right techniques. And that's what Mike Leach and I spent about 10 years figuring out what the techniques, the attributes of every single, all 11 positions. We figured out what the requirements for all 11 positions were, and then how to recruit to that, and then how to teach them in the off season how to be good enough athletes to do it, how to drill it each week, you know, as we get ready for game preparation.
You brought up, you know, what you're looking for in recruiting. And I know that all high schools can't recruit, but I think that's a very important aspect of this is understanding what kind of athletes or the skill sets that you're looking for in these different positions. And it's something I learned, probably in the 90s from our defensive coordinator who had kind of done what you did. He wanted to learn the stunt 4-3 defense. So he went and spent summer after summer with George Perla. Same thing. They just give him the keys and tell him to lock up. And, you know, he brought it back and taught it to us. But it started with a profile for every position. This is what we're the kind of athlete we're looking for. These are the skills he has to perform. Is that something that, you know, a person getting certified in the air raid is going to be able to understand and get that kind of information as well?
Oh yeah. Once they go through this, they'll be able to figure that out. I talk about it in one of the videos too. Yeah. It's even at the high school level, you got to know what you're looking for. Now, you may not always be able to fill all 11 positions with the guy you want. We haven't been able to do that in college a long time. And we may not be able to do it in the pros. But if you don't know, if you know what you don't have as well as what you do have, it's a lot easier to adjust.
Yeah, Coach, I think the other thing, and I believe really kind of it's a myth with any system that coaches think that, you know, I have to have the prototypical quarterback to play in this system or that system. You know, you and I were talking a little bit about, you know, Lamar Jackson and what they're doing in the NFL with him, that, you know, that you don't necessarily always have to put that square peg in a round hole. How can you tailor this system year in and year out to meet whatever skill set you might have? I mean, obviously talent is important. We do have to have a guy who has some ability in there, but how can you account for, I guess, what you're going to get, you know, especially, again, being a school that can't recruit with the variations you might see in the different types of players you have?
You're not always going to get Lamar Jackson. That's a once-in-a-lifetime deal, probably. And so you got to be able to have guys that can adjust. But the things we've looked for in our quarterbacks have always been the intangibles. Were they good leaders? Were they students of the game? Did they love our system as much as we did? Were they passionate about the game? After that, we just looked for guys that weren't going to be a problem off the field, and they had good pocket feet and a quick release. And if I went to a high school and didn't have a quarterback and had to look for a quarterback, the first place I'd go would be the baseball team and look at the infielders. And you can probably find a quarterback out of those four.
Coach, I know you've been spending a lot of time with AJ, your partner in this whole deal with the Air Raid certification, on also working on the virtual and augmented reality, the VAR systems part of this too. Is that something that somehow is included in this, you know, the ability to look at some virtual reality film?
Well, yeah, we're going to give you – it doesn't get you certified, but if you take the – test and get certified, and then you do virtual reality, we'll move you up several levels. It's not a requirement for being certified, but if they do it, you'll get moved up a couple of levels, and mainly just because, like I was saying before, any kind of professional development you can do helps. And that one I really believe in, because it's pretty much the way I watch film now from practice, and I think it's got a lot of merit. We do our playbooks in virtual reality, stuff like that. So I think anybody that goes through this and is smart enough to do the VARs is going to move up pretty fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did an episode on that probably a little over a year ago. I'll include the links to that, where we talked about some virtual reality as well, in our show notes for our listeners. And Coach, I guess the last question I have for you, I know there's a clinic that goes along with this as well, 2020 National Air Raid Clinic. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we're going to do it in June. It'll be in San Antonio, and we can announce today we're also going to do it. You can, if you can't get yourself to San Antonio, then you can do it online. It'll be broadcast through Coach Mackey Football, and we'll probably even do some of our guest speakers the same way if they can't make it to on the date that we want them there. But if you want to come to San Antonio, it's a great place to be and a neat place to visit, and you get the admission to the clinics included in the cost of the certification.
Coach, how can our listeners learn more about the Air Raid certification? Where can they find that?
It's easy. Just go to airraidcertified.com and pull it up. If they will put in the promo code 92MESH and they sign up in the next couple of days, they'll get a $30 discount.
Outstanding. Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time again, and I look forward to see what you do at Dallas in the XFL. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Season's coming up soon.
and check out our system, our advanced tackling system at footballdevelopment.com. It is designed to help you all year round. So there's things that you can be working on in your program, whether that's grading and getting some analytics out of this past season and finding out some areas where you can improve, as well as implementing some things in your strength and conditioning program. Again, check that out at footballdevelopment.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.